As sea levels rise and hurricanes menace the country's coasts, Georgia recently celebrated the 50th anniversary of a landmark law that protects its shores. As Molly Samuel from member station WABE reports in this story we've aired previously, the law was part of an effort to preserve an iconic state landscape, the salt marsh.
Georgia doesn't have a very big coastline, only about 100 miles. But the coast it does have is lined by salt marsh, a muddy expanse of tall grass and meandering creeks between the mainland and the state's barrier islands.
I don't know that anybody could look out across the Georgia salt marsh and not be filled with ecstasy.
Georgia writer Janice Ray on the edge of the marsh says there's something about the scene that's mysterious and vast. It looks still, but down in the marsh, it's filled with life. Fiddler crabs, oysters, and birds.
The things that you eat, you know, the fish, the shrimp, you know, a way of life.
I don't think anything will survive without the marsh.
Ernest McIntosh Sr. is a commercial fisherman and oyster farmer.
I mean, we have to have it. You can imagine no marsh? No, it wouldn't be right.
The marsh's value and its beauty might be taken for granted now. But in the late 60s, there was a proposal to mine Georgia's salt marsh, to dig it up, then fill it in. The fight that followed eventually led to the passage of the Coastal Marshlands Protection Act in 1970. It was a progressive law for its time, though other states now have marsh protections too. Still, Georgia, with its relatively small coastline, has about a third of all the salt marsh on the East Coast, close to 400,000 acres. And all that marsh is helping Georgia adapt as the sea level rises.
It's very incremental. It's very slow.
Jill Andrews is with the state's Coastal Resources Division.
We'll get these calls of somebody calling and saying, I just don't understand why I have all these fiddler crab burrows in my vegetable garden, or they weren't there before. You know, we hear that again and again. It wasn't there before.
She says it's not only marsh animals like fiddler crabs. People also see salt marsh plants moving into their yards. Sometimes it's more acute, like during the highest tides of the year. Megan DeRosiers is the executive director of the Georgia Environmental Group 100 Miles.
You can't cross roads. Sometimes you can't even go outside.
She says one time the tide got so high it affected her commute.
I had to walk through water. I'd take off my shoes, hike my pants up, and walk through water just to get to my office door. And it was a sunny day.
In Georgia, climate change is causing sea levels to rise by about 3 millimeters a year, which may not sound like much, but it adds up.
3 millimeters per year is about a foot per century.
Clark Alexander is a coastal geologist at the University of Georgia.
We have data for the last 80 years. It shows us that sea levels have been steadily increasing.
By about 10 inches so far, and they'll continue to do so, and likely at a faster rate in the future. And Georgia's marshes, they can move too.
Our marshes are able to migrate into the uplands.
And the 50-year-old Georgia law that protects the marshes follows them. The way the law works, you can't develop or fill in or drain the marsh without a permit. For those permits, you need to first figure out where the marsh is. And one way the state does that is by checking for certain marsh plants. Wherever they are is considered marsh. Jill Andrews with the Coastal Resources Division.
So to that extent, the Marsh Act can be responsive.
Basically, as sea levels move, the salt marsh moves, and the law moves too. But this isn't just about the salt marsh being protected, because the marsh itself buffers Georgia from sea level rise.
So the marshes play a very important role in protecting what's on the upland here in Georgia, particularly right along the edge of where the water and the land meet.
Clark Alexander with UGA says the marshes slow down water that might otherwise flood into dry areas. They also absorb waves. Without the marsh, powerful waves from storms would slam right into the land and erode it away.
As opposed to nowadays, where we see a lot of that wave energy being absorbed by the marsh grasses, just waving back and forth and knocking the wave energy down before it reaches our shorelines.
Georgia is working on ways to adapt to and prepare for increasingly high tides, asking local governments to plan for sea level rise and protecting open space so that the marshes can keep moving inland. But Megan DeRosiers with 100 Miles says there will come a time when the marshes and the 50-year-old law that protects them come so high up that they clash with private property.
So the question is, if the marsh moves inland, what happens to the boundaries of the marsh and what happens to the boundaries of private property? I think we're still trying to figure all that out.
But she says Georgia is in better shape than a lot of other states when it comes to sea level rise, because it's already protected so much land on the coast, and it's protected its marsh. For Here and Now, I'm Molly Samuel in Brunswick, Georgia.